persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. All them songs this morning in the choir, Brother Tony, talking about the blood. A couple weeks ago, we were singing about the blood. I can't get out of my head the security I have in Christ. I know that nothing can separate me from Christ. If you have your Bibles this evening, turn to the book of Ruth. Why, half of y'all are standing and half of y'all aren't. Turn to the book of Ruth and chapter number 2. This is a book that I know for sure I've never preached out of this book here at my home church, but I think I preached out of it a long time ago when I was traveling. The Lord was showing me something here out of this book the last couple of weeks and began to press it upon my heart. It's a story that everybody knows. Ruth is a very small book in your Bible. You don't hear it preached on very often, but when you do hear it preached on, you hear about the redemption and the goodness of God and all of those things. And I want to look at that a little bit tonight. Ruth chapter number 2, verse number 5. Your Bible says, "Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this?" Jump down to verse number 8. Your Bible says, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here, fast by my maidens." Jump down to verse number 14, and your Bible says, "And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. And he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left." Lord, I thank you for another day of life. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be in the Lord's house this evening. We're undeserving and we're unworthy. Lord, I thank you for the cross of Calvary. I thank you for saving my soul. Lord, I pray tonight that you would give us an image and a perfect picture of your grace and your mercy and how much you have bestowed it upon us and how unworthy that we are. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Fill me with the power of God, Lord. I cannot do it on my own and I don't want to try to this evening. I praise you and I love you. Give you all the glory and the honor. It's in your son's holy name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. What I quoted when I first got up here was out of Romans chapter number 8. Most of y'all probably know that. That song that she was singing actually fits pretty much perfect with my message tonight, talking about how sometimes we're not in control. We can't understand. We can't handle things. Lord, teach me to praise your name. Teach me to be faithful when I can't pray away the rain. Let's put that in our life perspective. Lord, teach me to be able to worship you when I'm out of control of my circumstances. Teach me to be faithful to church when I'm out of control of my circumstances. I'm not much of a glory preacher. It's hard for me to preach everybody up into heaven, but the Lord showed me a wonderful truth out of the book of Ruth that has got me plumb happy, Brother Roger. I mean, when I think about it, preacher, about makes me just run around my house and shout and jump out the window and jump back in. And I've been reading this story over and over and over again, thinking about how good God is to us. We see a progression of this relationship here in the book of Ruth. We're a Sunday night crowd. Most of y'all know the story, but just as introduction for those of you that may not know it, we get to the second chapter of the book of Ruth. Ruth is a picture. It's a beautiful story of the redemption of God. Ruth is a poor woman. She is not of the people that she is around. She follows her mother-in-law, and she takes care of her mother-in-law, and she's faithful to be sure to feed her mother-in-law and provide for her mother-in-law. We get to chapter number 2, and she's a poor woman. She has nothing. She's just an ordinary woman that has nothing to offer. She has no land. She has no money. She has no food. She's working the fields by hand to provide for herself and her mother-in-law, and she has no security in anything. Back in that day, of course, land and things like that meant something. Well, she didn't have any of that. So Ruth is just an ordinary woman. That is us, friend, before we were saved by the grace of God. We were just an ordinary person dying and going to hell. It's easy to get up as a preacher and say, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. But think about the grace of God for a moment. I was raised in church all my life, preacher, but I was still dying and going to hell. I was just an ordinary little boy, an ordinary little 13-year-old boy walking around, and all of a sudden God decided to see me. God saw me when he died on the cross, didn't he, Brother Roger? He tasted death for every man. He came down to me, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In the book of Ruth, we see Christ seek us out. We see Christ save us, and then we see fellowship with Christ. The verses that I read to you are the progression of this relationship. In verse number 5, your Bible says, "Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this?" Now just think back in your life before you were saved. God had seen you. God saw you. God knew. I think being raised in church all of my life, my parents are here tonight, and they drug us to church all the time. I heard the gospel preached every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. We went the whole nine yards. Back in that day, revival was Sunday through Saturday. And, I mean, we heard all the preaching, all those things. God saw me, Brother Roger. God saw me. We see Boaz notice this woman out in the field. All she's doing is working the field, providing for her mother-in-law. And Boaz sees her, and we see it progress. Not only does he see her, but in verse number 8, your Bible says, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." This has become a courtship into a relationship. Boaz notices Ruth. Then Boaz goes and he becomes a little bit more intimate with Ruth. This is a love story. And when you love someone, you enjoy to be one-on-one with them. You enjoy to be intimate. I'm not a married man. I'm about to be. And I can guarantee you that after Saturday when I get married, I'm sure being alone with my wife will be a good thing. Hey, even now, just being engaged, there's times where I enjoy to just take her out to eat and sit and talk and get a little closer to each other. Friend, this is God coming down and saying, "Hey, come and stay in my field. Come and stay in my field." I'm talking about a perfect, holy God that says, "Hey, Brother Tom, I know you're just an ordinary country boy, but I want you to come and stay in my field. I want you to stay with me." God wants us to stay in His field, friend. Think about how much God loves you. Amen. When we're so undeserving of His mercy and His grace, and yet He says, "Hey, come and stay in my field." Yeah. This is a picture of Christ, friend. This is a picture of Christ coming and searching us out and saying, "Come, stay in my field." Ruth went from being noticed to being known. He said, "You know what? I noticed her out there in the field, Brother Sam, but I'm going to go down here. I'm going to talk to her myself." When's the last time God came down and said, "Hey, Brother Barnhart, let's talk for a little while. Let's talk for a minute." I love it when God comes down. This morning when preacher was preaching, God came down and said, "Hey, Lucas, I want to knock on the door of your heart for a minute. I want to talk to you." And he said, "I want you to stay in my field. I know things aren't always easy. Things don't always make sense. But I want you to stay in my field. I want you to stay with me." Friend, this is a picture of God saying, "Stay with me no matter what." Amen. Ruth was poor. Ruth had no security and nothing. She was just an ordinary woman. "I'm just an ordinary young man standing up here yelling at you tonight, preaching the gospel. But I've got a God in heaven that looked down and said, 'Hey, I'm going to do something with him.' He said, 'I'm going to save him at the age of 13. I'm going to call him to preach at the age of 14. I'm going to put him full time in a church at the age of 21. Friend, God has been good to us tonight. I would say we should stay in his field. He said, "Ruth, come, don't leave my field. Stay in my field." This has become a relationship. This is almost a picture of salvation. Amen. "Come, stay with me." Okay, I'm going to listen to the voice of God. I'm going to accept Christ as my Savior. Amen. All right, now that you've accepted me, stay with me. Right. Salvation is just the beginning. We hear our pastor preach it week in and week out all the time. This morning, he quoted 1 John talking about that fellowship with God and how important that is, friend. We see the relationship progress through Ruth the same way that God progresses His relationship with us. I know half of y'all have probably already seen this before, but it blew my mind when I noticed this. He said, "Stay in my field." He talked to her. It became a little bit more intimate. James tells us, "Draw nigh unto God and He'll draw nigh unto you." That's what that's saying. When I met Riley, it's the best example I can think of because she's the one I'm about to marry. When I met Riley, at first, all I did was notice her. I was over there at Miss Hamilton's house about to pour some concrete trying to, and I noticed her from the distance, preacher. I said, "Hey, who's that? Who's that over there?" And believe it or not, she didn't like me for a long time, but I stayed persistent, and I waited my time. And then after I noticed her, I said, "Hey, how can I talk to this girl? I want to talk to her." This is God with us, friend. It's a love story. God saving us is a love story. It's the greatest story ever told in the world, friend. He said, "Hey, I'm going to go talk to him intimately." God came down to me in Indiana as a 13-year-old boy and said, "Hey, I want you to get saved. I want you to accept me as your Savior." I said, "Yes, sir."
Yes, sir, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want whatever it is you're telling me. I want this. So I went to her. I said, hey, you want to go get some ice cream? Let's go get some ice cream. I took her down to the Cruz Farm downtown, and, you know, we got to talk a little bit. That's when I actually talked to her, and I thought, you know what? I kind of like this girl. You know, she's all right. You know, I'm looking for somebody. I'm in the ministry. I probably need a wife. You know, that's a good thing. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Right, Brother Sam? I got to harp on this. This is the last time I'm preaching before I get married, y'all. So, I mean, it is what it is. I got to know her a little bit better as I talked to her. That's what Ruth did with Boaz. Boaz went to her and said, hey, stay in my field. I talked to Riley. I said, hey, I want you to hang around. I want you to stay around. I want you to, you know, let's hang out a little bit. Let's do this. Let's do, why don't you come to church with me? Come to my church. Let's hang out. And the rest is history. But we see the story progress as we jump down to verse number 14. Your Bible says, and Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed. So we see him notice her in the distance, and then we see it become a relationship in verse number 8. And then you get to verse number 14, and that relationship became fellowship. It became even more intimate. Last time I preached, half of y'all probably don't remember, and that's all right. I preached out of John 21. I preached on that table. Jesus said, come and dine. Yep. Christ has got a table for us that he wants us to sit at. This is a picture of that friend. He said, hey, come and break bread with me. Come and commune with me. I tell Riley all the time, let's go get something to eat. Let's just sit down and talk. Let's just, you know, get to know each other even better than we think we already know each other and things like that. That's what Christ is doing with us. Amen. He says, hey, I loved you enough to notice you when nobody else noticed you. Right. And nobody else was going to pay the debt for me not to go to hell. Christ noticed me and he died on the cross for me. And then he came down to me and he said, hey, son, I love you. Yeah. I love you and I want you to be saved. And now he's saying, come and sit at my table. Come and sit at my table. Come and break bread with me. This is a progression of our walk with Christ. Friends, salvation is the start. I've been teaching the teens through Wednesday nights the last couple months. For a long time, we were on the godly man and the godly woman. And here lately, preacher, we've been looking through Hebrews chapter number 11 and talking about faith and how salvation is the start. Fellowship is what comes after that. Boaz didn't just say, hey, stay in my field and just stay around me. He said, no, come and eat with me. Amen. Come and commune with me. Come and talk to me. When is the last time you sat at Christ's table? Yeah. When's the last time you communed with Christ? Said, Lord, I want to talk to you. Lord, I want to break bread with you. Lord, I know that you love me. Amen. Friend, this is the greatest love story that you'll ever hear, because it's a picture of Christ loving us. I'll never understand. I tell these teenagers all the time, I say, I'll never understand how you don't choose to serve the God that died for you. Boaz saw an ordinary woman worth nothing. She was worth nothing. She wasn't even of their people. She wasn't worth anything. Yet he noticed her. Friend, that's every one of us in here tonight. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care if you're rich or if you're poor. I don't care how you're raised. I'm talking about heaven and hell. There's a God in heaven who loved you enough to die on the cross for you. And now he is saying, come and dine with me. What happened when Ruth decided to say, yeah, I'm going to go sit at the table with Boaz. I'm going to go sit down and eat with this man and break bread and commune with this man. We see the relationship progress into fellowship, and then we see how the fellowship leads to the blessings. Fellowship with God, friend, that's where your peace comes from. Ruth had no security in anything. She was traveling, trying to figure it out. I mean, she didn't know what she was going to do or where she was going to go. She got security when she sat down and ate with Boaz. He said, hey, you know what? My young men out there, they're going to take care of you. They're going to make sure that you're protected. The protection of God comes when you sit down in fellowship with God. The provision of God comes when you sit down in fellowship with God, friend. The blessings started flowing. And then you read through your Bible, and I ain't no theological man, but you see the lineage that she's in, friend. She ends up being the lineage, I mean, of royalty all through the Bible. Why? Because she chose to sit down at the table with Boaz. She could have said no. She could have said no. Is God telling you to sit down at his table? Are you going to say no? I was just an ordinary boy. Got saved. Got called to preach. Honestly, got put in a little bit of a whirlwind the last couple of years. But every time in the middle of the world when Brother John, Christ said, hey, come and sit at my table. Come and sit at my table. When I was confused, when I didn't know what to do, I went and I sat at the table. And all of a sudden the Lord would give me the answers and tell me what to do. Amen. How intimate is your walk with Christ? Amen. This is a story of intimacy. Lovers love to be alone. Boaz and Ruth end up getting married and having kids and are doing all of those things, which means at times in their life it was just the two of them and they were intimate together and they were alone. How alone are you with Christ? Amen. How alone are you with Christ? I love these teenagers with everything in my being. And I have about at least one of them with me every day of my life. And every now and again, preacher, the Lord says, I know you love them, but you've got to get alone. Amen. You've got to get alone. And I learned. Yes. They start asking questions. They start wanting to know. Some of them want to know, why are we Christians? Why do we believe this? Why do we do this? And some of the questions they ask me, preacher, I don't have the answer to. I've got to ask the Lord for the answer to it. Some of them aren't just black and white questions. These kids are smarter than you think. The Lord reminds me, son, you've still got to be intimate with me. I'm not talking about being busy. I'm not talking about doing all of the stuff, and all of those are good things, friend. But how often are you alone with God? Amen. How often are you intimate with Christ? Amen. I started reading this the other night, preacher, and I sat down all by myself, and after Riley left and went home, and I started to study, and I said, Lord, I want this intimacy with you. I want this intimacy with you. I want fellowship with you. I want it to be real in my life. I want more than what I have. And you can say I preach on it all the time, but it's like God gives me more and He gives me more. And He never runs out of grace and He never runs out of mercy. And you wonder why I have peace. And you wonder why some of us can walk around with joy all of the time. Friend, it's because we've got fellowship with God. And the fellowship with the Son is what brings that peace in your life. Your family's falling apart. Your marriage is falling apart. You don't have fellowship with God. Your world is tumbling down. You don't know what to do. You're living right, acting right. Maybe you're the best Pharisee in the church house tonight. I'm not talking about doing right, acting right, living right. I'm talking about separated. I'm talking about fellowship with God, something that is beyond what everybody sees. Amen. Beyond speaking right and never cussing, and beyond, oh, I don't drink alcohol, beyond, I don't smoke cigarettes. I'm talking about something beyond that tonight, friend. Amen. I'm talking about the joy of your salvation. Yeah. Some of us never get to live in the joy of our salvation. We get saved and God says, stay in my field. And we go and we get the blessing at the beginning. And then we choose to run away and leave that field. God's got a field for you, friend. You better be in the field He asked you to be in, because that's where your joy comes from. That's where joy from Christ comes from. Preacher, a couple Sundays ago, started quoting and preaching out of Romans chapter number 8. That's one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. I want to preach on it sometimes, but right now it would take about 3.5 hours to preach it, and I don't want to put y'all through that. I got to condense it, but I love Romans chapter number 8. Growing up, preacher, I always heard people preach out of Romans chapter 8 as a salvation chapter. And it wasn't until I was about 17 years old, Brother Tony, sitting in a hotel room about to go preach revival, reading that chapter thinking, everybody that's taught me this is wrong. This is talking to saved people. Amen. This is talking to people that have already accepted Christ as their Savior. And it talks about that spiritual warfare. And it talks about how the Christian life is difficult. You know what? It gives you the answer to the difficulties of the Christian life in that chapter. Amen. Fellowship with God. Amen. Verse number 1 gives you the answer to the entire chapter. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those that choose to walk after the Spirit. There's no condemnation to people. We're talking about saved people. We're talking about the chastisement of God. There's no condemnation to saved people that choose to walk after the Spirit. That's walking in fellowship with God. Amen. I quoted Romans chapter number 8, verse 38 and 39 when I walked up to the pulpit. I'm persuaded nothing can separate me from the love of God. Some of y'all have been out of shape. You never know if you're saved. You never know if you're lost. You can't quite figure it out. You can't quite get some security in your salvation. Friend, Ruth had no security until she communed with Boaz. Which means you will have no security in your Christian life until you commune with Christ. You have to have an intimate relationship with Christ. Why is everything falling apart all the time? What's your fellowship with God look like? You want peace so bad. I want peace. I want peace in my life. I want God's blessings in my life. Friend, you've got a fellowship with Him. You've got a fellowship with God. I'm not talking about worldly, temporal things. I'm talking about peace and joy in the soul, deep inside the heart. I'm talking about it doesn't matter what happens. Some of y'all, the only thing you can talk about is the surface level problems. And that's what you focus on, and that's what you get attracted to, and you can't figure it out, and you can't figure out why you're always upset, and you're spun around, and you can't figure it out. Friend, stop for a minute. Fellowship and commune with God, and He'll give you some joy. I get asked quite often, Preacher Lucas, why are you always so happy? It doesn't mean everything's easy. It's just like Romans chapter number 8. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials over there in 1 Peter. It's just like Romans 8, friend. For the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared of the glory that shall be revealed unto us later, friend. And that's up in heaven. All of it comes with fellowship with Christ. Amen. Fellowship with Christ is the key to the Christian life. For I am persuaded, neither height nor depth. I'll stand before anybody and tell you I am persuaded, Brother Tony, God will never leave me. Amen. I am persuaded, Brother Hall, God will never leave me. Amen. I am persuaded, no matter what happens, God is with me. I am persuaded, regardless of the circumstance, if I commune with Christ, He will give me the answers to all of my problems. Amen. He will give me the answers to everything. Amen. Some of y'all want the worldly answers to your problems. Maybe the answer isn't what somebody has. Maybe it's what God has. Maybe God wants you to commune with Him a little bit more. Amen. Wants you to be intimate with Him a little bit more than you are. Friend, this has become my favorite love story in the Bible. Other than, obviously, Christ in the church. But that's what it's the picture of. What does your fellowship with Christ look like? Amen. That's pretty much the question I'm leaving with you tonight. 1 John chapter number 3. I wish I could quote it, but I don't have the memory of some people. 1 John chapter number 1, rather. Verse number 3, your Bible says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Amen. Where does the fullness of your joy come from? It doesn't come from your fellowship with everybody else. It comes from your fellowship with Christ. It doesn't come from your fellowship with your friends. It comes from fellowship with Christ. Friend, all of your true joy is going to come from God. How intimate are you with Christ? Christ saved me. I was saved for years before I realized that's just the beginning of my Christian walk. That's it. That's all I've got tonight. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I was saved for a long time, Brother Roger, before God taught me and showed me fellowship is what matters. I preached for a long time. I preached revival. I mean, I preached all over the place. Never saw anybody saved. Never saw nothing happen. Thinking, what's going on here? I'm saved. I mean, what's going on? It took a long time for the Lord to tell me, son, your fellowship is what matters. Right. Amen. I'm young and I don't know much, friend. But being saved is just the start. If you want everything to work out, if you want the blessings of God, if you want the protection of Christ and all the things God wants to give you and become in the family of God the way that you are supposed to be a part of that body, you have to have fellowship with God. Amen. How intimate are you with Christ tonight? Amen. Lord, I thank you for another day of life. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be in your house tonight. Lord, I'm undeserving and I'm unworthy of the blessings that you have bestowed upon me. Lord, I thank you for the grace and the mercy that you've given to me in my life. I pray that you would use this simple story to help us realize how merciful, how great, how much grace that you have given us, Lord. I pray that we would choose to have fellowship with you and take our relationship beyond the surface level with you and your Son. I love you, Lord. I give you the glory and the honor for everything. It's in your Son's holy name I pray. Amen.